Blog Talk Radio.
Hi.
Hi there. How are you?
Great. Hi.
Hi there. How are you?
Great. How are you doing?
Fine. You're on and we're live, and that's great. So, I thought perhaps there was some technical problems. I'm so sorry.
Well, we made it. We got connected.
That's good. I really am glad because I know you're getting ready to. Has your tour started? Your United States tour?
No, I did a couple of one-off dates here in California, but it starts next week, next weekend in New York.
Oh, in New York. Oh, okay. Where are you going to be? What club or?
We're playing at what used to be the Village Gate, but is now called the Poisson Rouge, the Redfish.
Uh-huh.
And it's in downtown and on Bleecker Street. And it was my very first show in New York when I debuted. It was at this club. So I'm returning to do my first residency in New York there at that club. And I have 4 dates over 3 weeks. I was hoping to do it one a week, but I had other dates I had to do. Made it it's like a Sunday and a Monday and a Sunday and a Monday, or else the opposite, a Monday, Sunday, Monday, Sunday. But I'm doing it.
Wow. That is so cool.
I'll have a different ensemble every week. I'm hoping to do a night of Broadway tunes. Maybe the second night might be Broadway tunes, but I don't quite have my schedule yet.
I see. So Broadway tunes.
Oh, concurrent to that, I'll be hitting Philadelphia and Boston for residencies in those towns as well.
Wow.
And, I wonder, I'm going to look and see if I have the names of the clubs.
Uh-huh.
While we're talking, I'll tell you the names of the
clubs. All right. Yeah, I was just looking at your new album, and I'm crazy. Did you design the cover of that?
The Sermon on Exposition?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I made that collage, and then my friend created the art that went around the collage. But, yeah, that's my face.
Oh, I love it. Okay. Well, that's really...
Let me tell you the names of those dates. So starts in New York on the 16th, and then Wednesdays in Philadelphia at the Note. Wednesdays starting June 18th to July 2nd, and then Thursdays in Boston at Johnny D's.
At what? Jumping D's?
No, Johnny
D's. Oh, Johnny D. Oh, okay.
Johnny D's. And then we also have, we're going to play in Ridgeway, New York at a place called The Blend. And in Long Island at Stevens Talk House.
Oh, okay.
See that for that month.
And will you be starting or planning another European tour, Ricky?
Well, I'm going to Lisbon, and then I'm going to Israel in September. I don't have a European tour scheduled, no.
Oh, you don't have one scheduled yet. Because I know that when I first kind of got in touch with you, I think you were doing one or getting ready to do one or something like that,
yeah.
And that's why I was asking.
I have a date in Lisbon, and then I'm going back to do some acting in Italy. I have a little tiny part in something here in L.A., too. I'm really stretching my activities. Is that a good way to put that? I'm acting anyway. Really want to, what I really want to do is, I want to get written into Weeds. I think that would be a great show for me to be on.
Oh.
Test made for that. So I hope, some writer or producer from that TV show calls soon and says, you're made for our TV show.
Yeah. All right. So it's weeds. You want to get involved with that.
Yeah.
So if you're out there listening, anybody with weeds, let's give Ricky a call. she's your woman. That's it. And they can get in touch with you on your website, right?
Yeah, they can. But comes to me pretty quickly there.
So what is it? Your website again, Ricky?
RickyLeeJones.com.
Oh, that's complicated. You got that, folks? RickyLeeJones.com. I cannot tell you how many people were on board. They were waiting for you to come on, and I could see all these people, and I thought, oh, what's going on here? So I finally figured out, uh-oh, I think we've got some tech. But the great thing is that this show will be downloaded and archived. Anybody can listen to it anytime. So
that's cool.
Yeah, it's all cool. It's all good.
Yeah.
But you have so many, many, many people that love you. I cannot tell you the response that I've had. I just, I thought, because, you know, you just kind of listen to your music. Every time I listen to something, I think, you know, she's different. Every song, you know, it's not like I can put you in a box and say, oh, this is great. I can't do that, you know. It's like you're unique.
Yeah, I am kind of unique.
You are.
Aside from it's unique because of that, because it's always kind of different. I like to be a little raw, but I have deep musical roots, and usually people who are well-rooted, like, you know, like melodic stuff, jazz, and they don't usually like to do risky, raw stuff. And so I got a little bit of Steely Dan and a little bit of, you know, Sid Vicious in it at the same time, you know.
Uh-huh.
A little bit of Pixies, not Sid Vicious, but, you know, a little Pixies, a little Steely Dan, and just to, you know, refer to something people have driven, usually those two things don't mix. And I think that's what makes it a little odd as far as business goes, because it's way harder to find people whose interests are that diverse, you know, who like all kinds of music, you know.
Yeah. And, you know, the
Exposition Boulevard is such a different record than the one before, than The Evening of My Best Day, you know.
Mm-hmm. How did that come about?
The sermon came about because my friend Lee Cantillon was, you know, had written a book some years before called The Words,
mm-hmm.
which are the words of Christ in, you know, 1 and 2 page passages with no Bible stories or dogma or anything like that. And he had asked people to come and just read these words over beds of music. And when I got there, I got very, you know, inspired. And I made up this song called Nobody Knows Name. I made it up on the spot, so it was a really thrilling moment. You know, they played the track I hadn't before, and I started making up all this, you know, this language came out of me.
Uh-huh.
And felt so inspired that we continued letting me do that. And I kind of changed the direction of the project, and so it ended up mine.
Wow, that is so cool! You were so inspired. You just immediately put it into some kind of song instead of what you were.
Tears I laid in these rivers, and I laid in these stones, and now I walk among you, and I speak to you, and I sing to you, and I'm the junkie in the gutter, and I'm falling off the bridge in many languages for all time. Do you know my name? Do you know my name? I think it's true for, I think every spirit could sing that song. It seems to resonate with Christ or with a Christ figure, but I think it's every one of our stories. I think every one of us sits and waits to be born and born again and born again, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, man, that gives me chills, the lyrics. Oh, yeah. Hey, what was that, a lion in the gutter or a fawn in the gutter?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He said, It was, I don't remember actually, but it's, yeah, it was something about, you know, the lowest of you, he said, the lowest of you, I am there. And so just telling that to people in a different language, so they really hear it, you know, I am.
Yeah.
You know, I am the drug addict you're walking by. I am that creature. I am, you know, the bird in the tree. And I mean me. I mean Ricky. I mean, I am that. And I don't know, it felt very real for people. It still does. So playing it live, you know, people sometimes just stand in the middle of the songs, and there's something so joyful and moving about it, and it happens live. You know, it's very hard to say, you know, talk to you in this interview and tell you. You have to come and see how it feels for those notes to pick you up and move you. It's pretty exciting, I think.
Yeah, you know, it reminds you of all the homeless people everywhere and the problems, and, you know, and we need to think more like in those terms, you know, like that's our brother and mother and father and sister and Jesus, if, you know, if you believe that the poorest of the poor and that sort of thing. So
that Jesus thing is a good thing to believe. The rest of the stuff, you know, the church stuff, the Christ stuff, and so you believe this, you have to do this. I say that's for the birds. But I think it doesn't hurt at all to honor, you know, any of the stories, the Buddha stories, the Christ story. All, I think it, you know, I just don't think it can hurt you at all. I just think belonging to a church, making an organization out of that, and a bunch of rules created by people who have an investment in how other people behave, I think this is where it goes astray. But the words themselves, hey, you know, they're as wise as any other, you know, words of how to live. The very first thing to do is to do no harm and to be in a state of gratitude and to help others. And that's, those are good words to live by, I think.
Yeah, they are, and they're really not, you know, they're not owned by any church or religion. They're
sure
just good words. Yeah.
You know, they sure don't say, judge other people, you know.
Yeah.
Right? And if they don't believe what I'm saying, you know, treat them like dogs. It's like,
yeah.
I don't think anybody said that.
Something wrong with that.
I got asked a lot when I made that if I was a Christian, you know, and the reason I took it on was to try to show people how sore these words have become, you know.
Uh-huh.
When you say the words, people cringe and are hurt, and they're hurt by these beautiful words, like God. If you say, let's talk about God, people go, oh, you know, I have an appointment.
Sorry,
Ricky. They feel like you're going to want to do something to them or convince them of something or yell at them. And I thought, wow, this is so unfortunate that, so I'm going to say these words and I'm not going to, you know, I don't want anything from you and I don't have any investment that you believe what I believe. Or, you know, I'm just, and see if we can't start to heal the words, you know.
There you go. Yeah, like bring him into the real here and now. Are you where do you see yourself? Do you like plan ahead 5 years, or are you more like you go with your intuition at the moment, Ricky? Like a year from now? I mean, I know you would like to get in that what is it, weeds thing you said and so forth. But are you a real planner aheader? I don't know quite the right word. I'm sorry, but
I don't think my life doesn't really allow me to do that. I'm a kind of impulsive character, but in order to do business, I have to plan ahead. You know, I have to book tours months in advance. And So I think I'm both those things. You know, if you said, let's go to Texas, you know, tonight, I'd jump in a car and go. But also, I have, you know, I have a schedule, too, so.
Yeah, because you have to be in the business, and you got to kind of, I guess it's hard sometimes to fill both shoes, because artists tend to be, you know, spontaneous, and And it's business.
It's hard to be in the business of music, yeah.
Especially the music. Did you ever dream when you were, like, little bitty girl what you would be doing, being famous and doing all this music, Ricky? Did you have that dream, or was this something that came later?
No. This is what I always planned to be.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this was my goal, and I think everybody in my family also thought, you know, this was all I knew how to do was sing.
Uh-huh.
And wasn't much good at anything else. I kind of tried to do it roughly when I was 20 or 21, but I wasn't very good at it. Suddenly I realized that how I felt when I sang was very different than how other people felt when I sang.
Oh, okay.
I had to improve, and that was pretty humbling. And I looked at a book. I didn't have any lessons, but I saw a diagram of how to move the air through your, you know, instead of singing from your throat, to sing from your belly. And I began to practice that idea, and that actually really made a big difference. Suddenly I had volume, and that was when I was about 22, and by the time I was 24, you know, I had a record contract and was making a record.
Wow.
So I've had amazing luck, you know, but it felt also like there was nothing else that could have happened.
I understand.
It had to happen that way.
It had to happen. That's an interesting way to put it. I don't know if that'd be luck or just you were gifted. I mean, let's face it. You touch a lot of people at once, you know, that really want to hear more. What's your biggest song so far, Ricky?
Biggest in sales, you mean?
Yeah, popularity?
Obviously, Chucky's Love.
Chucky's Love, okay.
Yeah,
that's what I was thinking, but I wasn't sure. I mean, I that's one of mine, but I have a lot of yours I like, so.
Not very many have been on the radio. Satellites was an adult radio hit. I did a cover of Rebel Rebel that was used for Boys Don't Cry.
Mm-hmm.
And then they pulled it out because David Bowie Publishing wouldn't give it to him. And that's about the Orb taking my voice for Pink Puppy Clouds was, but unfortunately, you know, they didn't pay me and they didn't advertise who I was, so that would have been really helpful.
Uh-huh.
Other than that, I don't know if I've had much exposure to you know, younger people to know who I am. Or
I see, yeah, they're growing up and what they like and all, you're not really, what was it I saw whenever, you know, I was putting your information on to have you on the show, and I saw on YouTube something you did, White Girl, I forgot, what was the name of it?
Oh, yeah.
That's awful.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about, that other side of what I like to do.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I really like that. I was kind of going, man, I didn't know she did that. So that's like multi, you know, faceted. I would think someone like you wouldn't want to be boxed in anyway. I mean, you want to be known with what you're doing now instead of kind of.
So, yeah, I guess that's exactly right. And it made my way kind of singular, you know, having to carve my own way.
Uh-huh.
But the payoff is that I can play, you know, I can play something sophisticated and I can play White Girl, you know, and my audience is pretty much prepared for, you know, the scope of what I do. So that's really paid off, because when you come and people are yelling for just one song,
yeah,
one kind of thing, it feels disappointing, even though, you know, I'm grateful that they like the music and go out, you know. I'm always coming from a state of gratitude, but I'm still going to do what I want to do for the most part, you know.
Yeah, because you have to be true to... Are you going to be coming to San Francisco or the Bay Area?
I did a residency up there in March, I think, at the Café du Nord.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And it was so fun. Oh, my God, San Francisco, how wonderful. They're so cool to me every time I go up there.
Yeah.
They cheer, and they're so devoted. It just feels fantastic. I love going to San Francisco to play.
I hope you come here soon, because, yeah, this is really a place that you can do your thing, and people love you. The more you do your own thing, the more you're loved in San Francisco. And besides, I live in this area, so I'm a little selfish. I want to see you. Although I would travel to see you. Don't worry. I would do that if you're not on this thing. Probably, you know, what I was wondering, too, is there... Go ahead.
I'm playing some California dates in August and September. I'm not sure where they are. You know, you might go on the website. They may be up north. I'm not sure, really.
Well, we can look on your website, RickyLeeJones.com, and see your tour and where to buy the tickets and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we'll be able to. Do you have another album planned? Are you working on a new one right now?
Actually, I have planned. I'm planning on a record, a tribute record of some people covering my songs.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm planning, and I'm thinking about doing a record about horses and trucks.
Oh, horses and trucks. That's a good
Yeah, horses and trucks, because I have a truck and a horse, and I was thinking that people who like often people who like horses, one assumes politically that they're right-wing people, but I was thinking, regardless of that, it would be nice to just have a record of songs about horses for people who like horses.
Oh, yeah.
And then I thought, there probably aren't that many people who like horses who'd buy my record, so I should put some trucks in there.
I like that logic. So you're really a horse. How many horses do you have?
I have three, and... No, I have four. I'm trying to sell them. So if anybody's looking for a Rocky Mountain horse, have them email you.
Okay.
I'll give them a horse. I got
give them a horse.
Horses here.
Oh, my God. Yeah, well, you heard what she said in my emails, Joy, at Creation is Bliss. So she's giving away a horse. That must be kind of hard to do.
Wouldn't that be nice? We could have a little contest and maybe donate some money to something and give you a free horse. We got a baby.
Hey, Ricky, that's a good idea.
If anybody needs, you know, any kind of organization would like to throw that, or we could do it. Let's do that.
Let's do it, Ricky. I'll help. I'm all for it. Let's get it going. Let's get it going. We'll get your horses. You've got four of them you're giving away, right?
I'm keeping one.
You're going to keep one?
We're going to give away one horse, and maybe somebody will buy the other two. Keep away for sure.
Gosh, you know, I'm sure there's people, especially, you know, around here with the Belmont, we've got a lot of horse lovers out there, so you can come back in.
They're gated, so they don't trot.
Oh, they don't, okay.
If you're a rider that has a bad back at all or doesn't ride a lot, this is a great horse for you. They're not so tall, and they're beautiful, and they're gated.
Okay. Yeah, I have a friend that loves them, and she might get in contact with you. So, yeah, just give me an email, Joy at Creation is Bliss, anybody out there that would like a horse, and we will do a little contest kind of thing here. We could donate. Well, let's see. Where would you like the money to go to, Ricky?
Well, I'm going to think about it. I mean, I'm working with a woman's shelter down here that I'm about to. I haven't met them yet, but let me think about where.
Okay, no problem. Yeah, there's so many causes right now that kind of I know even in the grocery store they're announcing, please donate to this and that. I was in the store. I was very surprised. They just begging, and I thought, huh, a lot of things need money right now.
Yeah.
So.
And so it seems like we're more willing to help things that are far away instead of door.
How is that? Is it too hard to look at sometimes, maybe?
When you got a family member that's in trouble,
uh-huh.
It's so much harder to help them than it is to help somebody you don't know, you know?
Uh-huh.
It's so complicated and it's all knotted up in all these other places.
Yeah, it's really like a doctor operating on his own family. It's just they can't, you know, it's too close or something like that. But are you, your residence is in California, right? Southern California?
Los Angeles.
Los Angeles, wow. Okay, so you're right in the middle of everything. That's a pretty exciting city, actually.
I really enjoy where I live. I live up in the mountain, and I just actually moved here Friday, so I'm just walking around trying to put stuff away.
Oh, so you're brand new in your place. Well,
yeah.
So this is your, I was just trying to, you know, figure, because you're almost, to me, this is a personal thing, but you're universal, so I kind of see you wherever you are, that's your home.
Yeah, that's right. It's funny you say that, because actually it's kind of true. My family traveled so much, I got used to, you know, picking up and moving.
Just pick it up and move it. So you can kind of, you know, when Ricky leaves town, she's really in your home, in a way.
Yeah.
You had a traveling family.
It always seems like the same kind of people come the same way wherever I go. If I'm in Portugal or Sacramento, the same feeling is there. You know, it's just powerful, loving, audience that comes to see me.
You have a real supportive audience. You've always had that, haven't you, Ricky?
I think so.
Yes.
I've always had a powerful audience.
Do you feel there was or is any difference as far as your career and the progression of it and the way it's going between you and a male? Or do you feel like that division is over?
Oh, I don't think it's over at all. I think men in our city are given, you know, a kind of
Hello? Ricky? Hello? Uh-oh. I think we were somewhat disconnected. Hello? Okay, I'm going to wait for Ricky to call back in. I think we were disconnected. Don't know what happened, but I'm sure she'll give us a call. So very glad that she got on. And for any of you that are actually just now joining in, I would love to let you know that there was some delay and technicalities, and anything that you missed in the last 20 minutes, you can definitely download at Judy Joy Jones Show and hear the whole scoop of the thing. And hopefully Ricky will be calling right back. I know that she has a lot more that she'd like to share before the end of the hour here. Let's see. Yeah, I actually, Chuck E's in Love is one of my favorites. I mean, all the people out there, y'all all have your favorite. And any cars as well, you know, the number is 347-326-9915. 347-326-9915. And I'm really sorry about the cutoffs and this and that. I really don't know. It's just out of my control. And if I could, I'd wave a magic wand and it would all be cool. But we kind of have to go with the flow. So let me just hope that Ricky gives us a call back. And then we can just kind of keep on with the show, and which is what we all want. And I would highly recommend anyone out there interested in listening to her music, especially if you have not listened to Ricky Lee Jones. she has many, many, many albums on Amazon.com, which is pretty easy. We all can go to that. And, you know, you can download songs there now as well. Just, you know, you can go to MP3 download and just download the songs that you want. So that's kind of cool. Or get the whole album, and you can find just about anything you want there. And they deliver, I think, in 24 hours or whatever. And by all means, go to Ricky Lee's website, RickyLeeJones.com, and see what her schedule is and when she's going to be in your area. And go see her, buy a ticket, and I'm going to talk to Ricky and try to get her right now. Ricky, I don't know what happened, but if you could try to call back in, 347-326-9915. 347-326-9915. So anyway, I left a little message, and she's probably trying now. Here she is. We got her. All right, let me just bring her up. Hello?
Hi.
What?
Oh, radio waves, I guess. I don't know. I was just about to tell you that I thought that the males, I think that it's still a very sexist society. You can see it even in the presidential nominations by, you know, any slight innuendo of her incapacity as a skirt wearer, but there's no innuendo about the male's incapacity, either racially or sexually. It's still allowed that you can put her down or make fun of her, address her as lesser because of her sex. And since this prevails in our society, it still exists on every level. And are you still there?
I'm listening intently.
I was going to say that the way I see it in music is that, you know, really lesser men, lesser writers,
mm-hmm.
are given... Well, I always just call them chairs, but are given chairs at the table.
Well, okay.
There's only one or two token chairs for women. And once one of them gets in it, nobody else can have it. Joni Mitchell has had the chair for a long time, and nobody else is allowed, you know, to have the credibility that Joni Mitchell has. It's as if Joni Mitchell created all music. And this is not her fault. This is because of sexism and that they just don't have the time or patience or interest to discuss other women as important, viable, iconic figures, you know. While we're going to hear about, you know, Jeff Beck, John Paul Jones,
mm-hmm.
Pearl Jam, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
We're going to hear about a couple of women, maybe, you know.
I could figure that up.
For the most part, I think this thing of the flavor of the month, like focusing on one female, you know, Lauryn Hill, Macy Gray, Amy Winehouse, for about a year.
Yep.
And then dumping them.
Yep.
That's, while men, you know, don't receive that treatment and so stay longer, you know. I find it very sexist. I've been really blessed because from the beginning I said, you know, my way or the highway, this is how I'm doing it. I will not conform. It made it hard to market me. You know, I did suffer, no doubt, but musically, I still exist, I'm still working, and I do, you know, the visions that I see without being hindered. And I think in the long run, I hope and that will do good, you know, that other women and other people will be able to forge their own way if they have the determination to do so and not be forced to change their music in order to fit into, you know, a marketable scheme by uninteresting, mediocre business minds who could just as easily be selling shoes
as
music, you know?
I bet you get a lot of that.
I'm so glad I called back.
Huh?
I'm so glad I called back.
Me too, because this is really important, what you're saying. I would think you had a lot of people say to you, if only you would, you could do this much better if you would change, right, Ricky?
You know, they don't say anything like that to me, but they did 15, 20 years ago, you know. They said, why don't you wear leather pants, or why don't you do that, or whatever, you know, really funny things like that. And maybe they were right, you know, maybe those leather pants would have made that a hit record, maybe a hit record, I don't know. But, so, I don't know, you know, Joy, everybody probably means well, and you have to, you know, it took me a long time to learn to come from a point of gratitude, and I'm always grateful, you know, but I do note that men, that rock and roll, you know, belongs to the boys, and they have a tough time giving it up unless you dress like them. You know, have you noticed that from lawyers to musicians, the women that are given credibility are the ones that dress like the guys, that look like the guys, skinny boy-looking women or women in suits, you know? And I just disagree. You know what? I got boobs, I got hips, I'm walking in like a girl, and I'm just as smart as if I, you know, wore a three-piece suit. So it's just helping them learn to be comfortable with our sexuality, you know, and it's hard for them. So you got to be patient and strong. And, you got to be what you really, you know, your female nature, and not change it in order to be with them, I think.
Well, you know, you've got to be, that's the thing that what you're saying just resonates with me. It's like, I have seen Joni Mitchell all the time. I couldn't figure out, Ricky, until you said what you did just a couple of minutes ago, why I didn't see anyone else but Joni. You know, it's not just an indomitable that there's been so many women out there, but I guess they just couldn't get in. They pigeonholed
Right. They're not marketed, and Joni, you know, Joni's lasted through many generations.
Oh, yeah.
But you know, so she begins with that 1960s, with the iconic Mount, what's that mountain where they have the president heads? Mount Baldy?
Oh, yeah, Rushmore.
Mount Rushmore. You know, she belongs on the Mount Rushmore of the 60s icons. But there are there are some great women in music, probably as many great men, or you know, maybe a third, because there aren't that many great anythings. But I bet if we made a list, really, we would find Laura Nyro on the list way before, you know, Dave Matthews or John Mayer or whoever, you know, the male guy this year is, you know.
Mm-hmm. The flavor of the male.
And yet she's never discussed, you know, never discussed. And when they do the great women of music in the magazines and stuff, neither, you know, she and I appear later on the list because, you know, we aren't sold. But, you know, take heart because, you know, I was here. I had an impact. You can hear it everywhere. I'm still working. So it doesn't even matter what they write because the people will, you know, buy what they buy. They'll listen to what they listen to. It's just to point out that, you know, that this sexism is still profound. It's bad in this country. We are so backwards when it comes to male-female relationships, socially anyway.
Yeah, I couldn't agree. I even wonder, you know, about the presidential thing a little bit, because like you said, I mean, it was on and on about these pantsuits and Hillary and this and that. And
it was an outrage. That was an outrage, you know.
Crazy. I thought we were way beyond, but, you know, you do until you actually...
would have been to discuss his hair, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Why didn't he have a fro, or what about this, or what about that, you know.
Uh-huh.
But nobody would dare go down that because, it's not because he's black or white, but because he's a man.
A man, absolutely. Absolutely. And
a black
yeah.
woman running, it would have been a totally different discussion, you know.
Yeah, everything about her was picked apart sexually, in, you know, in maybe not directly, but like you said, just totally, blatantly not what they did to a male candidate. And that's just like...
Yeah, it was a sin. I was furious. I'm just... And, you know, my friend emailed me and told me that she received more popular votes than any other presidential nominee. And I said, I have the feeling... that the Democratic Party is being run by Republicans. Because if Hillary were nominated, she would win. There's no doubt. But with Obama nominated, there's a contest now. There are people who will go, I just don't know about that guy. Where'd he come from? I don't know about him. And,
right.
you know, possibly latent racism, I don't know about that part of the discussion, but I know that because he comes from out of nowhere suddenly, that there are a lot of people who won't vote for him. And I said, I just have a feeling that ex-Republicans have infiltrated this party because the only reason that this woman is not being nominated is because she's a woman, you know?
Yeah. I hate to believe it, but I do believe it. And I thought, well, you know, other countries, they've had women, you know, leaders, and what was this, you know?
And Pakistan had a woman, for crying out loud.
You got it, Ricky. I couldn't agree more. And you look around at the women composers and different sects and stuff, and they're just way back, like you're saying. And, hey, you know, I think it's amazing, because you've got this last in power, Ricky, and... you know, maybe it was in spite of, you know, all the, maybe you didn't even know some of the doors that you were having to go through and open up. And thank goodness you did, because if you'd ever just quit, you know, I guess a lot of people do, you know, they go, oh, man, it's just too hard, you know. Dress like a man, maybe.
Oh, yeah, it's frustrating, you know, because you'll come in with a unique piece of art, and they'll right away, those men in control, we'll compare it to something else. So right away, you don't, but I don't want to be compared to her, or I don't want to be compared to that. And then you know right away they're going to try to market it like that. And you're saying, but I'm a unique and different thing. Why don't you make a new space for me?
For you.
They can't, because they're mediocre minds who are trying to keep their jobs and imitate the last thing that was successful, and always forgetting the fact that it was successful because it didn't imitate the thing that was before it, but that just goes round and round and round and round.
Yeah, yeah.
So wonderful about the internet, you know, you could put a song up on here and somebody in Istanbul, Prague, Paris could hear it instantly, you know. It's so amazing, the internet. It is. How do you get traffic is one thing, but at least you have this potential to speak live to the entire world. And, you know, and instead of doing it, you know, people write and say crass, stupid things and do commercials. But the potential is really staggering.
It's staggering, and it seems to level the playing field of male-female, absolutely levels it, because, you know, you're almost like androgynous on the internet. you can be, you, your talent can shine forth instead of your boobs, you know, or whatever Hollywood's latest flavor is, but usually it's boobs, it has been. I know that, like Blog Talk Radio, what we're on right now, I'm just always grateful because to me, they're just so ahead of the game. This show is worldwide. There's a potential of millions and millions of people that can download this show free of charge. And I just feel this is like this huge potential, Ricky. And, you know, yet so many people just don't, you know, see it or something. But I do, and I'm just really excited that, that we can do this. And, you know, this is like today. We had a few tech call, whatever, tech. But people can still go in and hear the show at any time because all I have to do is write a little note and tell everybody what happened. It's a little, you know, and that's just the beauty of the Internet. You're absolutely right. Especially for females. I feel like this is our time. If we, you know, they don't know if you have on a dress.
It really is our time. You're totally right. You know, our energy, our power and kindness, our fortitude, is what is needed now because, you know, small bands of very greedy men are like little viruses, you know, planning to kill us all. And we as, you know, I don't mean to sound new agey, but I am. We as the inheritors of the procreative thing, you know, of carrying the babies, I guess, because we seem to have it more than men in general, we have this desire, this profound ability to see that what's most important is that life goes on, not that anybody makes a profit. And we have to keep reminding them of that, you know. So I think women's energy, you know, at the voting place, at the workplace, in the home, to keep guiding people towards reasonable thinking is really, really important now and will pay off everywhere in every town. And you know what I mean?
Oh, I do. Regardless, life is going to go on, and women do remind the you know, the bean counters or whatever you call them, that,
right.
You know, it doesn't stop there. You know, it doesn't stop with a number. Much, much more. It's soul power. It's all of us that...
to how we treat our daughters, to the kinds of commercials that children are exposed to, all of this stuff I think women can respond to by refusing to be a part of it. That's one way. You know, I refuse to buy products that use women, that use women's bodies to sell them. I refuse to, you know, so just in little small ways, I go, well, the only thing I can do is not give you my money if I don't approve of what you do.
Uh-huh.
Every one of us can have power, you know, in some ways.
By the money there, you know, you just don't buy the product, anything that kind of makes the woman look
powerful. That's a powerful thing to do, you know.
And with all the, I guess everything is geared as far as the magazines, the covers and all. It's all this, you know, outer beauty, outer, or what is considered outer beauty. You know, we all have our own opinion of that. But with the Internet and with people like you, Rick, and your music, it doesn't come from anything that can be bought, at least not to me. I mean, I'll be happy to buy your CD. I don't mean that at all. But you're coming from a different place. And I don't think your popularity may not have ever been Hollywood, but on the other hand, maybe it was. Maybe I'm out to lunch. I just always considered you beyond that, beyond Hollywood.
I was pretty in for a minute. You know, I was the trend-setting thing for a year or two, and it was really uncomfortable feeling to have people dressing like I dressed. And
oh, yeah.
I didn't like being marketed. I didn't like me being sold. I didn't dig it. They have us, they trick us and make us think we'll like that and that we want to be adored. Everybody wants fame. Oh, but it's a trick. You know, what we want is happiness.
Happiness.
Fame brings none of those things. I mean, it may be somewhere in our brain we think somehow we'll live forever if people remember our name. Maybe that's the attraction to fame. But other than that, you know, it doesn't bring you money. It doesn't bring you fame.
Fame, yeah. Well, your music, though, will live on, I guess, if that's the I mean, to me, other planets are going to be named after Miss Ricky Lee Jones. You mark my word. Now, I won't be able to prove this, Ricky. Well, they are. They will. I'm a prophet a little bit. I see that. There's too much uniqueness there, but I hear what you're saying. You didn't want everybody to copy your dress, and you feel funny when...
I didn't mind it. In that way, I just felt uncomfortable. I felt funny. It was too much, you know, I'm just a singer.
Yeah.
You know? I'm just a singer. And when they make, I don't know how people do that, you know, how they take that adoration and
I don't know.
Above other people. I don't like the way that feels at all.
But it is part of being out in the public, I guess, you know, because I've been to concerts where, I mean, all the front rows are dressed like the person, you know, literally. Like they've got on those weird, I kind of thought, what is that? But, you know.
Dead Can Dance. Have you been to a Dead Can Dance
concert? No.
Yeah, that's pretty, that goes on there. It's quite a phenomenon.
Everybody's dressed. I think I was in his Chow. I don't know if you know Chow, but there were like, 2 or 3 front rows of everybody dressed in a Chow, you know, the whole wigs and everything. And I had never quite seen that, so it was really new to me. But then I thought, well, this is San Francisco. Maybe that's why. I don't know. But
I have to head out. I have to go now.